Welcome to Local Talk on KHY Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Kay Potok, one of your hosts today, together with my co-host, Joy B. Hello, Joy.
Hello, Kay, and thank you all for joining us to listen in.
To start with, we've got a short announcement of great interest to anyone suffering from Parkinson's disease. It's from Professor Stigmiller of ISU, who's a music therapist and also a neuroscientist. Professor Stigmiller has a message about a special singing festival coming up on August the 12th.
On Saturday, August the 12th, we'll be hosting a Parkinson's disease singing festival at the First Baptist Church in Ames. And anyone with Parkinson's disease and their caregiver are welcome to come. We just need to know in advance, if we could, about that. But basically, the purpose is to bring people with Parkinson's disease from all over the state. And I think we have a few people even coming from Illinois to sing together. So we'll start around 2 o'clock and we'll start with some exercises for the voice. And we'll learn a couple pieces that we'll all sing together, and then we'll be breaking for dinner. And then finally, that evening around 6:30, we will have a concert. And so anyone in the community would be welcome to come and attend the concert. It's open to the public, and hear a really nice program that would be put on by people with Parkinson's disease.
So the actual concert starts at 6:30.
Correct.
But they should come before that.
If they have Parkinson's disease and they want to sing in the choir, we would need to know by August 1st in reality, so we know how many are coming. We have t-shirts and dinner if they want to participate. And the rehearsals would start at 2 p.m.
Okay. So if they come at 6:30 just to listen, there's no need for advance notice.
Correct.
But if they want to take part, okay.
Yes.
Now, how should they get in touch with you if they want to participate?
So my number is 515-294-5966, 515-294-5966, or email esteg@iastate.edu.
Okay. So it's the first part of your name and then the Iowa State. I'll just repeat that, esteg@iastate.edu.
Correct.
And the phone number again, 515-294-5966. Now, if you just want to come to the concert, just show up at 6:30. But if you want to take part, contact Professor Stigmiller ahead of time.
I would just like just to know that there, not only do we have the singing festival, but we have weekly groups for people with Parkinson's disease. So we meet weekly to sing together.
Terrific.
And again, it's therapy. So it's to actually improve, not necessarily to make you a great singer. It doesn't hurt. But I always get the comment, I can't sing. And I'm like, well, that's not, we don't care about that. So we care about using it for therapy to protect against these swallow issues and whatnot. But there's also a huge social component that has developed with the group and camaraderie with the folks. Being able to sing with other people with Parkinson's disease is pretty phenomenal. So we meet on Wednesdays from 3 to 4 at the First Baptist Church for singing group. And then we also have an exercise and music and dance group, which is a lot of fun as well. And that is also at the First Baptist Church in Ames on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock.
So singing on Wednesdays from 3 to 4 and dancing
on Tuesdays, 4 to 5.
4 to 5. Okay,
yes.
So an hour later. Okay.
And it's usually...
And they're both at the First Baptist Church.
Yeah, and it's ballroom dance. It's a lot of fun. We will take a break in August, and we'll start back up in September once we get the fall semester going.
So these are every week, these
Every
groups.
Week,
okay,
yes. We have these groups.
Okay, wonderful. Again, Professor Stigmiller's phone number is 515-294-5966, and you should contact her by August the 1st if you'd like to take part in the singing festival. If you only want to listen to the concert, just show up at the First Baptist Church at 6:30 on August the 12th. And here's another reminder. The singing group meets from 3 to 4 on Wednesdays, the dancing group from 4 to 5 on Tuesdays. The festival and the singing and dancing groups all take place at the First Baptist Church in Ames. And if you're interested in the whole topic of what neuroscience can tell us about how music can help with Parkinson's disease, with stress, with end-of-life issues, and with all sorts of other human problems, you should watch out for a program coming up later in August on KHY's show Heart of Iowa, where I'll be talking in detail with Professor Stigmuller and one of her graduate students about this fascinating subject. And talking of help with human problems, Joy, you've been spending a lot of time at the library recently, interviewing people, learning about ways to build a better world.
Yes, it was inspiring to learn about this summer program at the library. Let's hear those interviews now. This summer, the Ames Public Library is filling a need felt by many people in the area. There are programs going on right now, and they are providing services that many people are not finding elsewhere. And I am a regular visitor at the library, so I couldn't help but notice the sound of many happy children coming from the main room at noontime. That's how I discovered the lunch program there, which is part of the Building a Better World program at the Ames Public Library. When I went to investigate, I discovered more than 100 children and parents having lunch, and they were being served their lunch by teenage servers. I have a volunteer that volunteers with the Ames Library, and she's part of the free lunch program that happens on weekdays here at the library at noon.
My name is Alyssa, and one of the main reasons that I continue to come back as much as I can is last year during the summer program, there was a little girl who came after we had run out of all of our meals, and she said, "Oh, I wish I had come earlier because I don't know when I'm going to have food again." And all we had left was lettuce, tomato, and cheese, so we gave her as much as we could, but it wasn't much of a lunch. About 3 weeks later, I saw her again at the meals, and she had gotten a meal, but one of her friends had not, and even though she didn't know when her next meal was going to be, she decided to share it with her friend, which was heartbreaking, and it's one of the reasons I continue to come back. We have about 100 kids a day come in, and then we have ranging from 5 to 9 volunteers every day come, and we unload the truck from the Nevada School District. They produce all of the food. And then the Boys and Girls Club here in Ames delivers the food to us because they also do a program. And then we unload it, we count all the meals, and just prepare the room for all the food.
After people are going to be going in August to a field trip in Des Moines, feed the homeless.
It's really cool. They're going to go feed the homeless and help out with that. And then as a reward for doing that and also reading the book and doing the club, they are going to an escape room. Escape rooms are an enormous amount of fun. They give you a problem and clues, and then you have to get your way out of it. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
Jerry Hyde, youth service manager for the Ames Public Library, was able to take a few minutes out of her busy day to tell me about the program. I am not kidding about her being a busy person. I did want to talk about the free lunch program briefly. You mentioned a lot of really great things about it, and the volunteer I spoke with mentioned that they were serving a lot more children this year and some of the stories that really moved her and made her want to volunteer. And then you were telling me at one time that you're teaching the older children empathy. And
yeah, the food for our kids and teens is what the program is called, and it's a USDA-sponsored program. They're our partner in this, so they're actually doing the funding portion of it, and we're partnering with Boys and Girls Club, who is our sponsor, and we are hiring Nevada school system to bring the food. So we've got lots of people involved in it. What we are providing here at the library is a place to eat and have meals together and have conversations with each other, whether or not you know the person or you don't know the person. So we're adding little conversation pieces on the table, like we've had some dice that you roll, and then it's just, you know, name your favorite animal or, you know, what's your favorite color. And so to get that conversation started, why they're eating this healthy meal that's being provided. And this is our second year. Last year we did Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at the library. We've done it several years before that, and it was in the church next door. Last year it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at the library, and we stopped at the end of our summer reading program, and we knew that that wasn't enough, because on Tuesdays and Thursdays, We had people coming in that were still just as hungry as they are on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And we also know that many boys and girls who are on the food, the reduced food program at school are on it for a reason, and so that they don't have that food availability during the summer, whether or not school's in session or not. So nothing changes that way except for they're not going to school. So we decided to go from school end to school beginning of the fall year, and then Monday through Friday. And it's been going really great. And like you said, we are what we call an open food site or an open site. So we're open to everyone. So there's no stigma attached. You can be one of the wealthiest people in the world if you want to be, or a homeless person that is coming in and using it. But the idea is, again, building that better world and bringing us all together and at the same table and enjoying each other. And so, yes, there's been lots of different things that have happened with the people that are receiving the meals, and then also with we have a program called Apply, Ames Public Library Youth, and there are 6th through 12th graders that volunteer every summer, and we have about 100 of them, and those are the kids that are putting the program on. We have an AmeriCorps member and an intern that's helping out that, you know, kind of leads the way, but the teens are the 6th through 12th graders are the ones that are actually handing out the meals and getting it ready and cleaning up and putting things out. And they're seeing all this. And it is a very, very interesting sight to see, because you think of course, in America, you think we all are feeding or, you know, eating well and doing wonderfully. And that's not necessarily the case, even in our community. And so being able to see what good they're doing and helping, how they're helping others. In my heart and in my brain, I believe that we are helping our Apply volunteers learn that empathy, that, you know, everybody doesn't have the same things that we do, that our world is different than someone else's world, and that we have to use that feeling of empathy to learn that everyone isn't the same, that we don't all have the same luxuries or the same things to that makes our lives easier. Hopefully this is helping them learn that, but also, you know, we know that a child or a young person that's volunteering when they're this age mm-hmm. will volunteer when they're older. So it's just a building a better world from the beginning of our childhood to hopefully down the road in 20 years, they'll be sitting here saying, oh, hopefully we won't have to be feeding everyone will have enough food, but, yeah. You know, hopefully, yeah, really. But yeah. You know, that they'll right. be sitting here, talking with someone saying what they're doing to help the world, be a better world.
Yeah. I think, what I see, it just seems like this is a huge impact for not only now in the present, the free lunch program, but in the future for their lives and for the lives of the community, because especially where you're sitting down and meeting your neighbors, I noticed there's a lot of diversity in the lunch program. There's people from every background, many different countries, you know, because we have a lot of students here too that come from other locations, and there's people that stay in our community. It just seems like there's everybody's represented in the lunch program. And so I think when you come, I know for me, when I came to Ames, it's hard to get used to a new community at first, and it really is so valuable to have people that might be able to support you and give you ideas on how to become a big part of the community, especially in giving back what you're doing. I think you do a phenomenal job. If anybody's seen Jerry walking around, there's always like so many different things going on at once. It's a big multitask job. I see that. So maybe you can tell us about the other great programs going on in the rest of July and maybe August, just highlight a few of the big ones.
So the newsletter that comes out is page one, and it's put out by us at the library, but it is Ames Public Library Friends Foundation production. And it talks about all the different programming, adult and children and infant, the whole. And that's what the Summer of Star Wars is also all about, is we have a young friends group called the Teen Advisory Group, or TAG. And so that's our 6th through 12th graders, again, that are out. They're out in the community going at it and being great volunteers and great community members at such a young age.
I am Joy B here for KHOI Radio, and we just heard Jerry Hyde, Youth Services Manager for the Ames Public Library. She described the lunch program at the Ames Public Library, where more than 100 children and parents are able to enjoy a meal and a sense of community together. 5 days, Monday through Friday, this lunch program is part of the Build a Better World program at the library. Jerry describes the Build a Better World program.
Build a Better World is a theme-based summer reading incentive program. So the theme comes from a collaborative that's a national collaborative of, I believe there's 48 states that participate now. And so it comes with pre-written programs and ideas of how to publicize and that type of thing. In the end, all of it is a way to motivate children to read. Whether you're an infant and mom's reading to you, or dad's reading to you, or grandma and grandpa's reading to you, it's a way to keep that motivation going and enjoying it and earning reading incentives along the way. So Build a Better World happens to be the 2017 theme. And in doing so, we're building with construction and also building a better world within ourselves and building us as a better person, and a better community and the responsibilities that go along with it.
I know we talked about you have actually a waiting list for volunteers. It's so popular at the library, but there's actually a waiting list. But what are some of the ways maybe people can participate if they aren't able to volunteer?
A loaded question. I always think that anyone, whether or not you're volunteering here at the library or paying your tax dollar money or giving money, donating to the library, to our Ames Friends Foundation, so they can give to us to do the great programming. But there's also, the grassroots part of it. Many boys and girls in our community may or may not have good role models in their lives or ways to get to the library to participate in the programming or be a part of it. And all they might need is a friendly neighbor, someone that's taking them under their wing and helping them out. So even if you can't do direct volunteering, talking about what the library is offering and encouraging people to take advantage or use the offerings that we have, but also encouraging children and others to read and help them read, whether you're tutoring or just sharing a story together or storytelling. Mm-hmm. Word of mouth is always a wonderful way, and that definitely shows support for your community and for the library. And I have to say, Ames loves their library. The community loves their library, and we are very, very lucky to have a community that supports us the way we are supported.
I was able to speak with some of the children and their parents in the program and could see that the program means a lot to them, too.
My name's Joanna.
How old are you?
6 and a half. My favorite things about the library is that you can play with the block things.
Oh, did you put your name on a block and add it to the Build a Better World block?
Yeah.
I have your father here. What do you like the best about the Ames Library?
She has a cool place to play, and she's doing her reading. She's doing really good on her reading programs now, so.
We have some Ames leaders that are coming down and participating in reading.
A whole bunch of people came down and read to you. Who read to you?
The mayor,
yeah.
The chief of police,
the fire chief, yeah, and the owner of the Tribune,
and the picture taker.
Oh, that's right.
I bet that's pretty cool when you can say the Ames policeman read you a story.
That's really great.
You know what you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be mayor.
You want to be the mayor after having all those leaders of the community read to you? You'll be so well-read, you'll know everything about being a great mayor and a great leader. Well, you have lots of times to figure out what job you're doing, and I bet the books you read will help you decide.
So my name is Mai. I'm the mother of three amazing kids. Talia, she's 7 years old, Layla's 5, and Taha, 5 and a half, and Taha is 1 year old. And we love, of course, coming to the library. Yeah. What do you like? Well, everything about the library is amazing. It's the best spot to spend the whole summer in it. Like, as you said, the lunch, it makes it more, very convenient to stay for a long time in the library without thinking or going and picking anything to eat. So it's very convenient. Also, the summer program reading is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it helps the kids to read, and all the prizes they're having, it's very motivational for the kids. We're coming today to see the Peter Dragon, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm Joy B for KHOI, and we are hearing about the Build a Better World program at the library. Those were the voices of some of the people participating in the program this summer. Jerry Hyde, Youth Services Manager for the Ames Public Library, directs the program for children.
I know what we talked earlier about a STEM program where you had little computers that look like maybe ladybugs, was it? And bees?
Bee-bots,
it's called. And they were the cutest thing. I actually went and watched when that event was going on and just sat in on it. I don't have any kids, but I wanted to experience, so I knew what it was about. And I watched the children and their parents and the volunteers. So the volunteers taught the children and the parents how to do it. And then they put it on a little map type thing on the floor that the computer would be programmed to follow, I believe. And it ended up that the kids loved it, and there was a waiting line for it. And the parents loved it, too, and they were getting really into it. And I think that's going to be something that you guys might have to buy more of in the future.
This program we're real excited about because it's kind of a different way of planning that we've ever done before. And so in June, we offered the program with these different types of coding, the BeeBots being one of them, and some boxes that there's a little tool that they can clip them together easier and cut them and create great creations. In fact, we had a mom or an adult that brought in a sample of something that she bought or she created out of found materials. Mm-hmm. And it was a great big castle and it was fabulous. It was very nice of her to bring it in and share it with our youth. So in June, it was our third graders and older, third through sixth graders that were invited to come learn how to use these, the BeeBots being one of them. And they are little bees, like little shapes bees, and then they code them and program them and make them do different things. And so each child did a different coding or they worked together in groups. And so this age group then became our experts. So we called that program Experts in the Making. And then in July, we've invited all ages to this with the hope that these older children or older youth would come in and be our teachers then to teach the littler ones. And that seems to be working too. Miss Anastasia is the person that's leading that program. We've created lots of wonderful box type of things together and the coding and playing. And then our Kiva blocks, they're little logs, like 1 by 6 inch logs or pieces of wood that's about 1/4 inch thick, and they can build with those. And so they build with those. So hopefully all these things are helping children decide how to think or think in that scientific way. So STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math, and putting those together or separately, but doing a program that's focused on that. So they think like a scientist or think like an engineer in developing those skills and those thought processes that we need to be successful in school. This year's theme with Building a Better World, the sub-theme is the Star Wars. And of course, Star Wars has come out with all their movies and new movies. And so we've been showing the movies all summer and we'll continue through August 12th. And then we have a quiz bowl that is a competition of sort that you can form your own team, and you do need to pre-register. You can go on to amespubliclibrary.org and go to our calendar to register your team. And it can be 3 to 6 people of any age together. So it's all ages, families, teens, adults. And then we're going to have just that, a quiz bowl, and we will have a winner and prizes and that type of thing. That's happening on Saturday, August 19th from 2 to 5 here in the auditorium at the library. But the really exciting thing, the Stormtrooper Brent and Jedi Dog 5K Fun Run is a fundraiser that this young group, Teen Advisory Group, and our teen librarian puts on and offers as a fundraiser to raise money. This time it's specifically for teens. The money goes into a variety of things that they ask for or need. And so this is our third one. And they go out, they find sponsors, they organize it, they have runners pre-register, they take care of that, they design the t-shirt, they order the t-shirts, they put on the day of, and they just do a fabulous job. All the skills that they're learning during this time and the mentoring that our teen librarian is doing with them is just phenomenal. You know, libraries are all about providing access and access to information, access to books, access to food, access to great adult mentors that are not family members, and access to learning skills that you didn't know you had, or talent that you had, and expanding on those. Summer of Star Wars is that what our teens are working on. The Store Thieves book is a book that all the Story County libraries have chosen and have been discussing all summer long. Here in Ames, ours is the last Monday night of July at 7 o'clock, and we're going to have some programming around it, or a craft type of literacy-related activities, and also a discussion of the book. Now, the book has been purchased and given to anyone in the county that has wanted to participate in the program. And so they've received the book free of charge due to a United Way of Story County grant. Mm-hmm. And so lots of people help us do the wonderful things we do. In addition to the books, United Way of Story County has also given us some funding to do a field trip to Des Moines. And we're going to the escape room, and then, because we also want to teach these or expose them to good things in the world and giving back, we're also going to the Meals of the Heartland and packing meals that afternoon. So a real full day of building a better world for all of us.
I'm Joy B on KHOI's Local Talk, and we've been hearing about the Build a Better World program at the Ames Public Library. That was Jerry Hyde, Youth Services Manager at the library. Many thanks to her and to the participants who allowed me to interview them. You can find out more about the Build a Better World program at amespubliclibrary.org.
And now I'm happy to welcome our next guest, Dan Thompson, who's the new store manager for Habitat for Humanity of Central Iowa. Welcome, Dan.
Well, thank you.
I believe you've just been 3 weeks on the job, is that right?
Well, that's correct.
Uh-huh. So it's all new to you.
Yes.
But maybe before we start talking about the specifics of your job, perhaps you'd give us all a summary of the work that this nonprofit Habitat does.
Well, our primary objective with Habitat is to create affordable housing for people that are in need, whether it's remodeled homes or brand new structures. Clear back from when President Jimmy Carter left office and started Habitat, his vision was that people that were low to moderate income could have decent housing in decent communities, and that's our main objective.
Yeah, and they, I believe, buy the houses on interest-free loans.
That's correct. They do have to put in a certain amount of hours, usually 400 to 450 hours of sweat equity into their own home, you know, where they go in and help build, help clean it up when it's done, and make it ready to be inhabited.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think your expertise as store manager will be of particular interest to our listeners, because it deals with the way we can all help, whether or not we're handy with a hammer. So why don't you tell us a bit about what you do as store manager?
That's correct. Habitat stores are more than just a thrift store or a place to get rid of used washers and dryers and appliances and other building materials and furniture. All the materials that are sold through the Habitat store are used to generate money to go back into these building projects that we do to build and rehabilitate houses for the needy.
So the things that people contribute, the washing machines and so on, as you spelled out, they don't actually go into the buildings necessarily, but they're sold.
That's correct. We try to make sure that everything that goes into the houses is brand new material, but we buy that brand new material with the funds that are generated from the store itself.
Okay. So where should people bring the stuff that they want to donate?
Our store is located at 402 East Lincoln Way, which is just about four blocks east of the intersection of Lincoln Way and Duff Avenue in here in Ames.
Is there a sign outside or anything?
Yes, there is. We have our big delivery truck parked out in front that's all marked up with the Habitat logos on it. And also the store has logos on the front of it, and as well as a street sign right next to Lincoln Way.
Okay. Well, can you tell us a bit about the specifics of your job day to day?
It's my job to work with the volunteers that are helping to run the store to make sure that we have our merchandise all set up properly in the store, cleaned up and ready for sale. We have several volunteers that strictly accept the donations and go through them and do any cleaning or prep work on them so that they can be resold and they're
okay,
again
so
to
they
use some money.
Work on Is it just appliances that you take, or do you take things like furniture? And so?
Our big source of revenue actually is the furniture side, with
okay.
used couches, chairs, you know, things of that nature.
Okay. So people can more or less bring anything.
Just about. We don't accept TVs anymore because they're very difficult to dispose of, and most people are not looking for the old analog sets anymore because they're so heavy and outdated and,
okay.
and unusable by most cable TV systems anyway.
So don't bring your old TVs to the store.
But that's
anything
correct.
Anything else? Old dishwashers?
Yes, we've got a lot of dishwashers. As long as they're in working condition so that we can put them back into somebody's home, you know, and be confident that they're going to work for them, we'll accept just about anything along the
okay.
line of appliances.
So appliances except TVs, furniture, how about things like clothes?
Clothes we do not accept. We would prefer that you go to Goodwill or Salvation
uh-huh.
Army with something like that.
Okay. Well, anything else to add for our listeners?
Well, right now, our store hours are Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays from 9 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the big reasons that I was hired as a full-time employee there was that we would expand those hours, and we're hoping we eventually get up to where we're open Tuesday through Saturday, at least those hours, if not more. It's my goal within a couple of years to have the store open 5 days a week and 40 hours a week so that we
okay.
can accept
but
more donations.
But at the moment, it's just the 3 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, from 9 till when, did you say?
9 till 2.
Okay, and that's at 402 East Lincoln Way.
That's correct.
Well, welcome to Ames, Dan Thompson, and thank you very much for the great work you're doing, and thank you for coming to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me.
And now, before we welcome our next guest, let's have a short break for some music that's appropriate for all the subjects we'll be discussing today.
Given me the reason.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and I'm one of your hosts, Joy B. And now it's a great pleasure to welcome one of our regular monthly guests, Ann Kinzel of the Ames Progressive Alliance. Would you introduce the other guests you've brought with you, Ann?
Sure. Good morning, everybody. Today with me is our new co-host, Carolyn Myers from the Ames Progressive Alliance, and we have our guests, Kathy Brown and Don Cobb. And we're going to update our listeners on SunSmart Ames.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
So, SunSmart, lots been happening. But, Kathy, you're chair of the URAB board.
Yeah.
I have to confess that that name sounds a lot like an important European Economic Community commission or maybe some really strong-tasting root vegetable.
That's turnips, great.
Or something.
Yep.
Oh, so I'm pretty sure it's neither of those things. So can you tell us first what URAB is?
URAB is the words that go with it are Electric Utility Operations Review and Advisory Board, and it's an advisory board to the City of Ames Electric Utility.
Okay, so it's not a strong-tasting
turnip.
All right. So, can you tell us how often does the board meet?
The board meets as needed, primarily because our main role is associated with rates and budgets and those kind of things. But as we've had improvements such as converting the plant from natural gas or from coal to natural gas, we had public hearings and things like that. So when we have the opportunity to have new ideas come forward or advance energy concepts, we meet as needed to discuss and be able to be in a position to provide recommendations to the City Council.
So you must work pretty closely with Don here.
We do.
Yes.
How long have you been on the board?
Ooh, good question. I think 5 years.
Wow.
I think so.
Wow. So the public can attend these meetings.
Yes.
And they find out about them from the city?
They're both on the website. We also do postings at City Council and yes, many
and
ways people can
normal
find out.
Public notification meeting. Mm-hmm.
Right, and you've had some meetings lately, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But first, I want to understand a little bit what URAB is doing with respect to SunSmart Ames.
I could go back a little bit and say that when we were having the coal to natural gas meetings, public meetings, many of the citizens said, why only natural gas? Why not looking at other fuels or energy sources? And so as we made progress on the transition on the power plant, we and the city staff worked together to say, is now a time to look at sun? Because that was one of the ideas that was brought forward. And Don and his staff were very supportive and diligent in researching other communities that had community solar, and the board has been kept informed and provided input along the way.
Good. Well, I work in bioeconomy, and to make a bad pun, the sun solar is hot right now.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of movement there. So we want to understand and have our listeners understand a little bit more about that catchy title, SunSmart Ames. I'm going to turn over to Carolyn to talk a little bit to Don here about what it's all about.
All right.
Hi, Don.
Good morning.
I'm just wondering, you know, SunSmart Ames is really a catchy title. What exactly does that mean?
Okay. One of the things that we noticed within the community, we have a lot of our customers that are installing solar panels on their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of people come to us and say, you know, how can we get involved? How can we add solar to our own energy mix at our homes, whether I'm a renter, whether my house can't support it, or I don't want to make a big investment? SunSmart Ames is basically a community solar project or a community solar farm where anybody that wants to participate in that project can.
So when did the project start?
Well, the project, we've been studying this probably for about a year and a half. We had some public meetings on it where we brought in, for example, Cedar Falls is about a year and a half ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
They just brought their community solar project online about a year and a half ago. And so we had them come in, talk to URAB, talk to the community on the process that they went through. So we used that as kind of a template and said, can we bring something like that to Ames?
So you must have learned a lot of good lessons from the Cedar Falls previous experiences. I understand that there's been lots of public meetings regarding this. What's the purpose of those meetings? What are people learning when they attend these meetings?
Very good question. So when you start looking at community solar, a lot of things come up. how will it affect me? How do I get involved? If I get involved, do I get energy? Do I get credits? How does that impact my own bill? What would the costs be? How long is the term? What happens if, and there's a lot of, well, if I leave town, if I leave this, if I want to buy more. So during the workshops that URAB is hosting, we've invited the community to come in, hear the plan that we're laying out, ask questions, and give us some feedback so that if there are things that we can do to make the program better before we go to final construction, we can incorporate a lot of the changes.
So how do you feel the attendance was at these meetings? Did you get enough citizens involved? Are there ways you could have maybe gotten more people to attend the meetings?
The attendance actually was great.
Oh, good.
We've held 3 meetings so far, and the room was busting at the seams,
to be
honest. Oh,
that's wonderful to hear.
We were bringing chairs in, and people continued to show up. In fact, at least 2 of the meetings, we had people from Nevada and Boone also show up, which was kind of interesting. They want to get involved, and unfortunately, this is an Ames-specific project. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten good, very good responses there, and we're now looking for other avenues where we can get the SunSmart Ames message out. Coming to KHOI is an excellent example mm-hmm. where we can let people know this really terrific project that we're about to kick off.
That's great.
Okay, Don, so we've talked sort of in generalities, but and some people, those who've come to the meetings, are well acquainted with SunSmart, and some may know, I've heard about what's happening in other communities. Maybe you can give us a short description of what it would mean if I were a Sally ratepayer and I came in and said, I want to be part of SunSmart Ames.
All right. And as you know, I've never talked short, so I'll try. I'll see what I can do. SunSmart Ames, our community solar project, rather than put 10 panels on your home, the city of Ames is looking at putting thousands of panels in a central location, building a solar farm that produces energy. As you can see, I'm talking with my hands. This is great radio when you're talking with your hands.
It's a big project, folks.
My hands are way out there. So we take all of the energy produced by the community solar project, and then those participants that are involved each get a piece or a share of the energy that's produced each and every month, and that shows up on your electric bill as a credit based on your involvement. The project we're looking at, we'd like to use a site down near the Ames Municipal Airport. It'll tie right into our electrical structure, and we'll deliver it to your home or business.
So if I came in, and Kathy, feel free to jump in, if I came in and said, well, Don, I want to be a participant, I would have to write you a check right then and there? And how much are we talking about?
Okay, absolutely not. We're not looking for money right now. There's really 3 pieces to this project. One is find the right site, and we think we have that figured out. We have to work with the federal government, the FAA, to make sure that it doesn't interfere with the Ames Municipal Airport. That's probably the biggest.
Must be close to the airport then, I guess.
It's a piece of property just north of the runway if you're on Airport Road. You can see it's farmland right now, and we're going to use that. If we get all our permissions, that'll be the property where we're going to build this. It'll be easily seen on Airport Road, easily seen off of Highway 30, and we're planning on putting up signs and stuff that say, hey, this is something where Ames is progressive, and we're looking forward in using solar energy as part of our generation portfolio. So site's one thing. Second thing, it's strange. You'd think that the city, with low-cost financing, could put this thing up ourselves. We use money cheaply, and we could put this up. Federal government is offering outstanding tax credits for renewable energy to the tune of about 30% of the project. So we found through a study that it's actually better if a third party puts it in. So the second piece of it is we're talking to developers that specialize in this, and we've asked for proposals on how they would best build this. What panels would you use? Would you make it fixed, or would it tilt with the sun? All these neat kind of things. So we're working through that piece. The third piece then is how do I as a customer get involved? And we're not asking for money right now. We want to make sure that there's enough interest. We're asking for people to say, hey, I'm intending to purchase what we call power packs. That's our own internal term for a slice of the solar farm. And so at the meetings, we've been talking about all of this, and then people can just say, hey, I think I want 2 or 3 or 5 power packs. We're gathering that information so that once we have the developer's proposal done and we have a good idea on how many people are going to want to be involved, because this project could grow. The land we're looking at has the ability to expand beyond what we call 2 megawatts. 2 megawatts is the size we're talking. And when we get the intent, we then would go to council and say, here's a proposal to build it. Here's the hundreds, if not thousands, of Ames residents that want to participate specifically in this. And we put the whole program together, finalize it, and get city council approval.
And Carolyn, jump in anytime if you have any questions.
Sure, sure.
Okay?
The other thing I want to say, too, is this project is not just being done by the city of Ames. Iowa State University is also looking at being a joint participant in this project with the city.
Okay. So if something happens where that particular site doesn't work out, do you have any backup sites in mind?
We do. Boy.
Okay.
Yeah. Our backup site right now is there's also a piece of property, and both of these are owned by the city, so that keeps the cost down. But the backup site, if you're familiar with Billy Sunday Road and the mm-hmm. road that goes out to the sports complex, there's a piece of property next to the Ames Animal Shelter. And it's a little bit woody, a little bit of undergrowth and stuff like that. But that also has a lot of good characteristics from a standpoint that it's close to the electric system, it's visible. It's just that that piece of property would take a little bit more work to make it level to prepare it.
Interesting, because in the work that I do, we look for what we call marginal land to put bioenergy crops on so that we don't compete with prime farmland. I assume the same idea applies to solar farming in Iowa.
The ideal site would be something that probably wouldn't work for most other things, because we really don't want to take prime farmland away. The one thing with the piece of property next to the airport, it is farmland. It's smaller, though. And it has a lot of the positive attributes.
Well, it better not be blinding any pilots, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the key things that the FAA looks at when we put this together is there are new technologies with low glare or no glare panels. And by using some of the tilt ones, they typically tilt into the sun as the sun comes across the horizon. And those have less glare and things like that and impacts for the pilots.
Well, I've heard you mention Cedar Falls quite a bit, and not that there's any real rivalry between us, but it's a city that's also a college town. Mm-hmm. How was the response when Cedar Falls decided to get into this?
From what I understand in talking with the Cedar Falls people, their first big customer, their first big partner was UNI, and they were really together jointly went out and built it. When they looked at their project, they said, should we build a 500-kilowatt one, a 1 megawatt, or a megawatt and a half? So they looked at three different sizes. The response was so good that they immediately jumped to the largest size that they could build, which is a 1.5-megawatt facility. Not to say that we're competing or rivals with Cedar Falls, but we're looking at a 2 megawatt or maybe even a 2.5. So we're going to be bigger than Cedar Falls.
Well, that's nice, because we do know that the University of Iowa is actively burning biomass. Yep. And in their electricity generation. So it would be nice if we would take the solar lead, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Iowa State has taken they're a little bit ahead of the city. They actually do have some solar panels up and a wind generator on their site if you've driven by campus.
Now, how would this affect homeowners in Ames who would be fortunate enough to have either the means or the proper property or a combination thereof who put solar on their house? Does this affect them in any way?
It really doesn't affect them. We do have a program called net metering where if you do install it on your home or business, you can first use the energy for yourself and then any excess energy that you produce, the city will pay you for it. So it doesn't affect any of those programs. This is primarily geared for those who either don't want to or can't put it on their own home or don't have a home to put it on. I know we've had a couple people at the meetings that have put solar panels on their own home. They're also showed an intentions of purchasing some of our power packs.
Now, you mentioned that ISU was going to get into the game. What about other businesses in Ames? Are they eligible to participate in this?
Yes, they are. We really want to encourage broad-based community participation in the program and hope that businesses participate as well.
Yeah. Businesses of any size. We're open to anything from, you know, the local gas station down the street up to something bigger.
So what kind of marketing are you going to be using to try to sell investment in this for the businesses as well as the residents?
Very good question. We're looking at all different avenues and things that we can do. We started with the workshops to get that word out. Plans are for a mass mailing that's going to go out. We're open to going and talking to any kind of groups, you know, the Rotaries and Kiwanis's and Lions Clubs and things like that. I'll come to a church group, or we'll have somebody come to really any organization that would be interested in hearing more about it.
So what about residents who aren't necessarily part of any specific organization or who are new to town?
We're hoping that, one, the mailing, and it'll either be included with your bill, or it may be a special mailing that will go into the mail. I heard rumors that Steve Wilson, the energy guy, and I might do a commercial for Channel 12. We're also, one of the things that we thought was kind of neat, and we're learning this from Cedar Falls, is yard signs. And it may say, one of the ideas we've kicked off is, Sun Smart Ames, you light up our life, or something like that, you know.
Oh, but, boy.
All right.
you can contribute to the brainstorming if you like.
I'm not the marketing guy here, all right. But you know.
Or even, for people who have signed up would say I'm participating.
Oh, do you see any role of social media in your marketing with this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Any
avenue that we can go out and touch people today would be an excellent thing that we would use. Facebook, our website, other media like that.
Well, I'm getting the sign from Kay here, but I want to ask one more question before we wrap up today. And this is probably because I used to practice law, so I'm terminally nerdy about these things. Lots of people in Ames come and go.
Yes.
So I have a house, I buy a house, I buy my solar pack, and then some great opportunity comes somewhere and I decide I sell my house. What happens to my power pack?
Yeah, well, we talked about this at Europe because that was one of the questions that really came to us when we talked to our focus group and to people. And we want to make it as flexible and usable as possible for our customers. So if you move within Ames, you can transfer it to your new house. If you move out of town, a lot of ideas, you could give it or sell it or whatever to a faith-based organization, or if there's a group near and dear to your heart, YSS or Habitat for Humanity, you have the ability to transfer it to that other business that's here in Ames. When all else fails, I think we'll have a program where the city then will buy it back on a prorated basis. So you don't have to feel that by making a 20-year commitment that you're locked in. Some have even asked if they could leave it with the house and maybe use that in the future when they sell their house, that they can use that as an additional marketing idea. So we want to make it as flexible as possible so people aren't worried that, boy, if something comes up in year 10, that I won't have something to do with that.
So it can be transferred
sure.
to others.
Okay. Well, thank you both so much for coming today, Dom Com and Kathy Brown from URAB. And before we close, quickly, where can Ames Utility customers go to get more information or to let the city know they're interested
right.
in participating?
Thank you. So you can either call us at 515-239-5170. Or you can go to the city's website, and that's www.cityofames.org/solar.
Very good. Okay, so thank you, Carolyn Myers, Don Com, Kathy Brown. People can get a copy of this radio show and lists of upcoming APA events on the APA Facebook page and website. And we'd like to thank KHOI Radio 89.1 for having the APA every month.
And thank you, Anne.
See you next month.
Yep. This has been Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a program where we explore the stories, people, and places of Central Iowa. And I've been one of your hosts, Kate Puttock, together with my co-host, Joy B.
Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. You can also hear Local Talk anytime online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is also streaming live online at khoifm.org.
Our theme music, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you'd like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. So come and see if you'd like to join the Local Talk team. If you enjoyed this show, please tell your friends and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And please remember that you as a listener are the most important part of Local Talk. Your participation as audience and your generous donations help make it all possible. And now thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
Funding for KHOI is made possible in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. In the heart of Ames, the Ames Main Street Farmers Market brings local food and fun. Located between the 300 and 400 blocks of Main Street, including Tom Evans Plaza, the Farmers Market provides fresh local fruits, veggies, meats, breads, handcrafted goods, live music, and family entertainment every Saturday